Hello, 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 and welcome back to the files of the new black mom. Oh my goodness. I think it's because I say it so fast in my head. I'm like, files of a new black mom. Okay, cool, got it. But we're back. And if you don't know, it's cold as fudge outside, okay? Like, winter has finally said, bitch, I'm here with this 28-degree weather. It's ridiculous. I have a scarf, a hat, a hoodie, and a jacket on. Like, parka me up, socks on, boots on. If you ain't got no heat in your house, baby, you gonna be an icicle. Icicle. It is so freaking cold. Anyway, this week's episode... it's one of my favorite topics, fashion. And the reason I wanted to do about clothes is I was looking at the styles in which my oldest loves to try to dress. And one of the comments her uncle made one time was like, oh, you know, one thing about her mom, she always made sure she dressed her nice. And in my head, I was like, okay, am I the judgy stepmother who's seen the stuff? And I say stuff liberally that she sent with her when she first became in our custody. Do I judge her on those things? Do I judge her on the fact that she dresses her like she's in like a BET video? Like, to me, I say this with all respect. When it comes to kids, you want them to dress in a way that's appropriate, but also vary them. And my biggest issue is the fact that people tend to let their kids dress way more provocative than I think really their mindset is even at. Like, my daughter wants to wear the shortest of shorts, crop tops, belly button out, tank tops. And don't get me wrong, she's not a super curvy girl. She's super tall, so she has nothing but legs. So shorts are extra short on her. Because she's, you know, thin frame, she's like, I want to show my belly button. Which to me is like, it's a hit and a miss. It's all about appropriation. Like, I find loose crop tops, like the ones that are almost like just a happen to be short t-shirt, a lot better than the itty bitty tiny tee, because to me that just it grinds my gears. And then it's like my youngest, she's all about leggings, but she's also about her stance. Everything is like hand on the hip, arched back, and it comes from her dancing. So I don't feel, you know, she's trying to be inappropriate, especially because she doesn't even like going outside in a tank top. She's like, give me a t-shirt, or it needs to be like a thicker strap tank top. Like, that's her comfortableness. To me, it's like, when I see girls now, and I say this now because I laugh when my husband always was like, let's go take her to this or take her to that. And we take our oldest, and I look at the way these girls are dressing. Perfect example. My 12-year-old, who's now about to be 14, we were going to an Easter party. And in Maryland, if you don't know, an Easter party is like a thing where they have like an actual party for kids. I forgot what it's called, but it's a specific name that they give it, where it's like a kiddie disco. That's what it's called. So I'm from Jersey. We don't have kiddie discos. It's like on holidays you go to a club or a party, but a kiddie disco kind of was like, what the heck is that? And basically what a kiddie disco is, it's a party at a hall or a rented space that is specifically for kids between the ages of like 12 and 18. Very broad, very, very broad. Now, my husband at the time was like, you know, she's gonna go, I'm gonna bring her little sister, because again, my daughter at the time was what, 6 or 7, about to be 7, something like that. Or she might have, yeah, she was about to be 7, so she was maybe 7, no, she's about to be 9, so she was definitely 7. So she's like, I want my little sister going. I gotta go. And we're like, girl, your little sister's going. And mind you, I'm pregnant. So I'm big, round. But I'm like, I'm down. Let's go. So the whole week she's talking about this party. Oh, I can't wait to this disco. I can't wait to this party. She's talking about it. Oh, I'm going to invite my friends and tell them where I'm going, because I know it's going to be lit. And me and my husband just looking at each other like, okay, girl. Super excited. So literally, we get her hair done. One of my good girlfriends, she's a hairstylist, so she braids my daughter's hair. Gets her all popping. So the whole time she's hyped because she like, oh, I'm going to this kitty disco for Easter. And my homegirl, she gives me this look like, okay, what's up? What you wearing? And she's like, I'm going to do these jeans I got. They kind of got like some rips in it. And I might do it with this shirt and this hoodie. And it's going to set, like, she is setting it off like she is going to the club. Like Miami Club Live. Like, she is in the VIP section with bottle service. That's how she's acting like she's about to get ready, right? So, legitimately, she lays out her clothes the day before, like a kid waiting for Christmas. And I didn't see the outfit. I was like, you know, she's going to dress appropriate because she ain't stupid. Like, me and her dad are going to be there, so she can't sneak on something and take it off. Like, we here. We looking. We see what you got on. So, legitimately, day comes. Her sister puts on like some leggings and a t-shirt and like a jacket. Real simple little kid, cute little girl outfit. She puts on these black and white Vans, I want to say. It was either that or like a black boot. Some regular, like not even super like fitted, but some cute little jeans. And then this hoodie with a jean jacket. Now her jean jacket was kind of like one of the cut up kind of funky, you know, jean jackets. But nonetheless, the outfit was pretty, like, I mean, for me, it was pretty basic, okay? But she was hyping this thing up like she was going to wear Gucci, Louis, and Prada. So I was like, okay, you ready? She was like, yeah, had her lip gloss and her fanny pack. She was ready to go. So she thinking she young hotness, and my daughter has thought this ever since I've met her, okay? And when I say that, so she started her own little YouTube channel, and the first thing she would me and my husband make really bad jokes because as adults you're childish. So we literally, she makes her intro to her YouTube is, it's your girl. So literally the running joke is me and him mimicking her yelling, it's your girl. Now the reason that we mimic it isn't for any reason other than the fact that she doesn't talk like that, nor is that her personality. So it's really weird that that was her first initial, like, go-to line, in a sense of like, okay, girl, like, that's your intro, okay. Because me and him both were like, that is not her personality at all, by far, you know, any way, shape, or form. So literally we crack a silent joke about it. Nonetheless, she thinks she's hot popping. So we get to the dance hall, and literally I'm like, well, you know, I'm gonna be over here. I got me some soda. They got, because literally the disco was like a club. They got snacks, they got drinks, like sodas and juice, and then they got like 25 cent bags of chips, like little stuff. So, nonetheless, you know, I get my snacks because baby girl is all the way, like, 7 months pregnant. And, no, I might have been only, like, 5 or 6. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I was, like, 5 or 6 months pregnant. And I was like, okay, I'm going to stand over here. Because she was acting like, well, when my friends come, I don't want you, you know, I don't want to look like I'm with you. I don't want to look like, you know, I'm here with my mom. I said, okay, girl. That's cool. I'ma look distant. So literally I do what I gotta do. I set myself up over in another corner. Her little sister's like, oh, I'ma be over here with you because you got money to get snacks and I think I want some snacks. Bet. So literally my oldest is now trying to figure out like her next pivot. Cause she's literally trying to figure out how she's going to, you know, set this up. This is her first party. She's trying to be cute. She's trying to be popping. She's trying to have a look. So she's looking around. And my husband's working. So this ain't even for him. Like, he's literally not even there. But me and him cracked a whole bunch of jokes. Like, you know, this is her first little party. So she's probably nervous. And this is like the first little club atmosphere. Whatever. So literally, she stands there for probably all of maybe, the first 10, 15 minutes of it, and acts like, you know, she's scared. And scared to the extent like, you know, are you having fun? And she's like, yeah. I said, all right, cool. And I went back over to my corner because, you know, me being the parent, you have to sometimes not necessarily check, but secure that they're comfortable, because they're not going to come out and say, I'm uncomfortable. So she was like, no, I'm good. I'm like, cool. You good? I'm good. So I go back in the corner. Her sister over there jamming. Now, her sister is like me. She's a social butterfly to the extent. Like, she came to have a good time. She came to party. She came to set it off. She came with dance moves and rhythm, okay? Now, my oldest, whoo, baby. Her rhythm is something for the books. You hear me? But nonetheless, she came to have fun. Now, did she have fun? I would say probably 6 out of 10. Because when she got there and she looked at her outfit, this spicy outfit that she done put together, talked about, it was a fit, it was a look. And as adults, I think we do it ourselves, where sometimes we overextend what we think we about to put on. And she did that a lot. So, literally, I'm like, so did you invite some friends? She was like, no. And I had asked my husband before, like, did you invite your niece? Because we have a niece and a nephew on his brother's side. One who's the same age as her. They're only a month apart. And then his daughter, well, his son is the same age. My nephew is the same age as her. And then my niece is 2 years younger. But she an old lady for sure. So I'm like, did you invite them? He was like, I tried to call them because we're on their side of town. They didn't answer. So I'm like, did you invite any of your other friends? And she was like, yeah. But everybody, you know, because I'm in a new school, everybody's over east and we're over west. And she was giving all these excuses. So finally, she gets in touch with one of her old homeboys from the other school. Happened to be a gay guy. Loved it. He was super pleasant, super sweet. But she was in my pocket for the first 45 minutes to an hour we were there, because she was by herself. And she definitely felt out of place, because when I tell you, these little girls look like they raided their 19 or 20 year old sister's closets. I mean, lace, fishnets, lipstick, full heads of weave, crop tops, belly shirts, boobs out. I was like, baby, who kisses these? And he was like, yo, I don't know. Now, one thing my husband is, he's not, I would say, not one of those I want to be your best friend kind of parents. He's like my dad. He is very old school. And because my husband's older, a lot of times he and I have not disagreements, but definitely we have moments where we agree on things being too much, or we disagree on how far he takes it, because he can be a bit strict. But on this day, at this time, in this moment, we both looked at each other and said, what in the entire hell do these kids have on? I mean, these girls was dressed like they were going to a club me and my husband would go to, okay? Like, booties out, titties out, and we're like, who house you left from? So, backstory on that, my father was my Uber and my Lyft till I was probably 22, when I used to go home for college. Now, when I got old enough to drive, he would let me use his other truck. So my friends loved it, because I would scoop the homies because I had a truck. But before then, my outing every weekend on Saturdays was a skate rink called Skate 22, RIP. Someone got killed there and they closed it way after I stopped going. But that was the spot me and my best friend used to beg. And when I say beg my father to go to. Like, I literally had one real friend, and we are still friends, my best friend, the mother to my goddaughter, the one I talk about all the time. She and I used to party way back. And my father was the pickup and the drop off, because her mother was like, I am not dropping. Her mother worked 2 jobs. So she's like, I'm not dropping off or picking up. My dad was like, I don't mind. You know, as long as I meet your mom. And he met her mom, and her mom was cool. And he realized, oh, your mom is strict like I like them. She got a good head on her shoulder. She knows where you are. She cares about your whereabouts. Cool. So he felt safe in knowing basically he had a parent who cared. Because when I tell you my best friend called my dad dad and I call her mom, and like we used to stay the night at each other's house and hang out all times, days and nights, because he trusted her just as much as he trusted me. And he trusted that no matter what, we had each other. We had phones, we had a way there, we always had each other's back. So I had a friend that my father knew for sure wasn't scheming, scamming or in these streets, because her mama was crazy. But my father saw every outfit I left in. Like, he would see me in a skirt and go, mm-mm, that ain't it. And I'm like, but daddy, mm-mm. Now, my mom was, I would say, two notches down. She would be a little bit more liberal, but it was also because she realized she wanted me to be comfortable in my skin. I wasn't this super skinny small girl, and I went from like a B cup to a triple D cup over seventh grade summer into eighth grade year. So I had boobies since forever. I wasn't super curvy, but I definitely had body parts that she was like, you gotta know, you have to be protective, you have to pay attention, because people don't look at you as a child, and you have to be protective of that. And that's the image we tried to portray with my oldest, because she looks at herself in a very mature light. She looks at herself as, oh, I'm a teenager. And at the time, she was a preteen. So she was preteen in it and trying to be Miss Hotness and Miss, you know, ready to party. But that was a real wake-up call for her, going to a place where the girls she did know didn't really want to party with her, because they looked like they was going to the 25 and older club, and she looked like she was going maybe to the mall, maybe to the library, maybe to a indoor space, because she definitely didn't look like they was going to the same party. And one of the things I want parents to do to take heed in is paying attention to what your kids have, having their bags, have on, all of those things. Because one of the things we noticed was a lot of kids came in one way and left another. And a lot of kids didn't even have a parent who dropped them off. And I was like, where are all these kids coming from? And I mean, we had, it was at least maybe 100, 150 kids. But it was like, these kids were catching buses and rides with their older siblings and cousins and whoever. But the outfits looked like they was going straight to a club. Like a real club. And stuff that I wouldn't even have wearing as an adult. Like, shocking. And I was like, I saw my daughter's face when she compared her, what she thought was spicy outfit, to what was really spicy. And it made her feel, not insecure, but definitely like, whoa. So, my quick top three little tips when you dressing your child. Compare to your own closet. Because I myself, I'm not super conservative. And I won't say her mom is super conservative. But me and her mom both being bigger girls, we were very much selective on the things. But you also have to look at the closet and go, is this something I should be owning? Yes, it's cute when your daughter dresses like you and you want her to have a similar outfit, but is it appropriate? Because you're looking at her because you know she's a child. That guy, that woman, that whoever who's looking at her is looking at her like bait. And when I say bait, like bait on a fish hook. Looking at her like, ooh, look at that. No. Look at yourself. Don't look over here. Tip number two, teach them how more is better. One of the worst things people do is teach their kids this horrible thing where as soon as it gets hot, you got to put on less and less and less. And then you get kids who are leaving their house half naked because they think, oh, well, this is appropriate or this is cute or this is whatever. And then they don't say nothing. And then they don't realize they are in the streets around pedophiles and creepers. And these grown kids who are 17 and 18 looking at your 12 and 13-year-old child with interest. They're not looking at them like, oh, well, she's a kid. They're looking at her like, ooh, she fresh meat. And when you have kids in a predicament where they're dressing like they're going to a club, you setting them up for failure. Absolute failure. My third tip, check their bags. I never needed a boot bag to go to my homegirl house to go to a party. I never needed a boot bag to go to this catering. So if you see your kid with this extra large duffel, check it. Check the fuck out of it. check it like you going to school. What's in this bag? Other than the lip gloss, maybe your phone, your house keys, whatever, your wallet. But what do you need? Shorts, a tank top, a crop top. What is all this in your bag? Are you paying attention? We're going to take a quick break and I'm going to be back. So we are back. And we're appropriating what we're allowing. One of the things I find hardest as a parent is that balance of self-expression versus self-defamation. Ooh, big words, big words. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times as parents, we have this inkling almost to do what we call what's best for our kids situation. I don't agree with that. I feel like as a parent, you have to do what's best for the greater situation, whether it be to protect, to enable, or to, you know, kind of let shit happen. I find that, especially in this time and age where social media, which has never been a factor. So our parents, me being almost 30, my parents didn't have the same worries that I have. My parents' worries were like a boy calling the house or a boy coming to the house or a boy at school. Now, there's no other barrier anymore. And what I mean by barrier, there used to be leaps and bounds you would have to do to commit trouble as a child. You would have to have access to a phone that your parents couldn't pick up from another room. You had to have access to a vehicle that wasn't owned or insured by your parents. You had to have your own money so you can get back and forth and do the things you wanted. Versus now, we give to our kids to enable them to be self-sufficient, i.e. cell phones, laptops, tablets, iPads, money, jewels, whatever. And we enable them to this lifestyle of them feeling almost superior. It's crazy. I remember the first time I was able to buy my own clothes. I was a junior or senior in high school. And my dad gave me, because I kept complaining. My father was very old fashioned, very old school, if you must. And one of the issues wasn't my father taking me shopping. It was the items in which he felt were popping. And it's one of those things I laugh, again, because you tell your mom you like Tweety Bird, next thing you know, you got Tweety Bird socks, shoes, cat, you know, coat, whatever. And you're sitting there like, why the fuck did I tell her I love Tweety Bird? Oh my God. But he trusted me to go buy my own school clothes. One, because he knew I had to show him what I purchased. And two, he gave me just enough freedom for me to prove if I was trustworthy or not. Kids don't always prove themselves as much as they prove you right, if that makes sense. I'm sorry, I am drinking my morning coffee, so if you hear slurping, I do apologize. But it's like, you ever had a good cup? We're not gonna do that. Anyway, my biggest thing was that my father trusted me. That's all I can hear. He trusted me to make the right decision, not because of anything other than the fact that I was like, Dad, can I, you know, pick out my own clothes? I think I can handle it. I feel like I had to tiptoe around me not liking the items in which he purchased without disrespecting him, where he would be like, well, get a job and buy your own clothes. Because that's typical, you know, as kids, we sometimes don't know how far to push something, so we tip it over. But I remember I called my cousin, who is literally a year and 2 months older than me. And I, you know, at the time she had a car, because my cousin's been working 2 and 3 jobs since I've known her. And it's probably the best person with money. But nonetheless, I talked to her. I'm like, hey, can you take me to the mall so I can go get clothes for school? She was like, what? I was like, yes, girl. My dad gave me some money so I can go get some school clothes. And she's like, okay. Now, I, being the younger cousin, definitely played a more mature role in certain aspects. My cousin was a plus size girl living in the early 2000s, where being plus size didn't have people modeling or showing or being comfortable or body positive. It was like, girl, you fat. And what do fat girls wear? Sweatpants and big hoodies. And that was my cousin's wardrobe. You hear me? Adidas slides, jeans or sweatpants with a oversized, cute, fashionable, but hoodie. And my cousin was always beautiful. She had this butter pecan complexion, Indian curly hair, but was fully black. Just her mom and her dad just had super soft, curly, different texture hair. And she had a great personality, brighten up your face smile. Like, she was so dope. I used to be very envious of her because I always thought she was so beautiful. I thought she had what most people would, you know, fantasize and almost kind of, I don't even know the word, but they would basically, you know, be very much into her because fetishize, that's the word, fetishize her because she looked biracial, she looked exotic, all of these things. But nonetheless, called my cousin. She's like, bet, I got you. I'll come get you tomorrow. We'll go shopping. Cool. Now, my cousin and I were rollies. If ever I needed someone to get me through, my cousin was there. She was definitely that person. And I feel like kids nowadays don't have that person, which is really weird. And what tends to happen is you don't have a person who's going to tell you, bitch, get your shit together. That's a big problem. And it was one of the conversations I had with my oldest, because I'm like, these ain't your friends. And she's like, what do you mean? I said, because if they were your friends, they would get you out of trouble. And she was like, huh? I said, so the reason you have friends is so when you fuck up, they can help you get out of a fuck up. Not add gasoline to a fire, light a match, and then decide to throw some wood on it to keep it burning. My friends were the biggest influence on me doing better in school, better in life, better with situations, because my friends were like, bitch, you gotta do better. You can't keep fucking up, so we can't go out on Saturday night. So basically, we go shopping, and I was more excited with the freedom than I was actually picking clothes. And I trusted myself. I'll say this. I trusted myself with making better decisions than I would with a kid who's 16, 17 with a couple hundred dollars in her pocket at the time, which felt like bank. Because let me tell you, as an adult, you see a couple hundred dollars, you'd be like, that's it. But as a kid, I'm like, oh, I got to get this. I got to get a new fresh fit. And I wasn't responsible for my sneakers, just clothes. But I took that time to prove I could do it. I bought jeans. I bought t-shirts. I bought a couple cute little tops. And I was really content, because by the time I had to show my father what I did, it was like, okay, I'm proud of myself. I felt more inclined to prove to him that I was trustworthy with my clothing. And I feel like the hardest thing to teach kids is to prove yourself. My oldest is one of those kids, because frustration when your kids get older is that they're going to want to express themselves in every way possible, express themselves in their clothing, in their music, in their hair, whatever. The hardest thing is to support or not support. If you don't support, you'll get a full rebellion. You'll get the fights and the arguments and all of that. And like, I look at how my daughter responds to clothing, my oldest. And she's battling the age of wanting to be provocative, because she feels like that's where she should be and that's what her friends do. And her really being comfortable wearing crop tops or shorts. The harder part is teaching kids is not always about keeping up with the Joneses. And it's something that old folks say, you don't got to keep up with the Joneses. You don't have to keep up.
And the reason they say that is because you do this ongoing battle of trying to maintain this image of, oh, I'm good. Oh, I'm popping. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. And a lot of times that measures up to nothing. You're filling up an empty cup with air. No substance. And one of the things I try to instill is the fact that it's not always about showing the most skin, showing off in a way that doesn't really depict who you are. I remember going to college and feeling very comfortable in my skin because I never wanted to feel in competition, because I've always had smaller friends. I've always been the big girl with 5 and 6 smaller friends. And we would go out and they would put on these itty bitty dresses and I'm like, sis, that ain't me. And I would have to depict that to my children now because I want them to feel, if not comfortable, almost amplify their confidence in what they have, and knowing that if you got big boobs, you don't have to wear the lowest cut shirt. You don't have to wear your boobs out every day. Because there were times we would go out and I would be in a full long sleeve shirt and still be cute. With no cleavage, no nothing. It was days my friends would have on, you know, certain things, and I would compare, because that's what kids do. They compare their clothing. They compare how they, you know, match up, and it don't always match up. You want to teach your children to almost not necessarily compete, but definitely outshine in a way that doesn't mean more skin or more sexiness or more, you know, certain appeal. You want your kids to feel as though whatever they have is good enough. They don't have to always go above, beyond in a way that's not them. I love that I enjoy, you know, myself and my skin, and I've always been very confident because I saw that depicted in people who are around me, and kids replicate that. I had my cousin tell me as we got older, she was like, you're the reason I was confident in a lot of things I wore, because I was very much in a comfort zone of my sweatpants and jeans and Adidas slide, because I felt like that's all I could wear. She was like, and then I would see you come out in certain outfits, and I would be like, okay. And my close friends have said that to me, like, yo, you will put on whatever and be as confident or feel as confident. And I said, because I ain't got no other choice. If you teach your children the confidence they need to surpass the naysayers, they won't need to be half naked to prove that they're popping. They won't need to compete. And that's a big faux pas for me, is the competition aspect that we have with children, with what they like and what they think works and what they think is appropriate. But they also are going to want to mimic you. Are they mimicking the best version of you? And I say that because when it came down to it, I've always been very observant of how much I show as a mom, even before I was a mom, you know. But as a mom, I am a curvy, tattooed, very outspoken woman. And I want my children to realize, if you don't have the image that people find appealing, you're still cute. You still pop it. You still have all the things that make other people go, okay, girl. Because you don't have to be half naked to prove that, oh, you're beautiful or you're sexy or you're confident. Some of my favorite images of people who inspire me are people who walk with confidence. Confidence is something that we have to teach young women, teach young men, that you don't always have to be a mass appeal. Because what they see through social media and what they see through parents who are not significantly observant of their children and the clothing that they wear, or they allow them to go above and beyond and be super inappropriate or age appropriate, you tend to kind of cushion the blow of life. You cushion these faux pas and flaws of trying to just get you in a mindset of the best version, the better version, the greater version, the upside. And that one thing that they can't take away is the fact of confidence. I've learned that confidence is the best thing you can teach your children. And so I say this. You can teach your children everything you think will help them be the best version of themselves. And you can teach them all of your tricks of the trade. But you have to instill in them the knowledge. It's still a life learning lesson of how to be confident in the skin that they're in. And how to blossom a flower that they can basically grow without even thinking. I find myself in a lot of predicaments as an adult where I don't always make the best decisions, but I try to think it out because I've had that instinct of rash decision making or that quick decision. And because of it, I've learned how to be almost resilient in my efforts and resilient in my strength of just knowing what's best for me. And even if I make a mistake, learning from it. I thank you for listening, and I holla.